wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Who knows today that the man Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead? The court of appeals is set, and the gallery's filled. For this case concerns everyone the world around. The whole structure of Christianity is founded on the resurrection of the man Christ Jesus. If true, then blessings here and hereafter are made available to each one of the human family. But if false, then we have been deceived, and every hope for man has been swept away. Our hopes and fears are all met in that real man, Jesus of Nazareth, and from that tomb comes either a shout of glorious victory or a cry of hopeless despair. Which is it? And since this event happened 2,000 years ago, no living witness remains to tell us what he saw and heard. But there remains today a book with a complete record of just what happened. Up jumps a smart lawyer, and he wants the judge to rule such testimony out as irrelevant. But he is promptly told that all our knowledge of the distant past is dependent upon recorded words of such events. It is conceded that documents must be tested both as to their accuracy and their workability. The case continues as the Holy Bible takes the witness chair. Its pages are found to declare that Jesus of Nazareth was a unique person, none like him before, nor shall one arise to equal him in days to come, for he is God, very God, come down from heaven to save man from his enemies, sin, the world, and Satan with his subtle demons. To become our real Redeemer, he became man. That is, he is so really human, he was born of a woman. As a boy, he increased in wisdom and stature. As a helpless babe, he nursed his mother's breasts. And as a real man-child, the circumcising knife branded him, for he was indeed Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In a family with his mother and her four boys and two girls, his half-brothers and sisters, and her husband, he grew up working at a carpenter's bench. In due time, God from heaven marked him out as his own beloved son, and he was sent forth by the Holy Spirit to his public ministry. Divine power showed itself in him as he healed all diseases and even raised the dead. Yet, he so manifested himself as a real man that he never was in more than one place at a time. And he was dependent upon God for everything. He so felt hunger himself, he in compassion fed the starving multitude. In weariness of mind and body, he slept. His truly human soul longed for friends, for love, for understanding of his mission here. The truth is, there never was a more real and genuine human than that man ever known as Jesus of Nazareth. While he is God manifest in flesh, too great a mystery for God to convey to our finite understanding, yet he was manifest in flesh, and he showed us God as a real man. Remember, he did not crawl into a human body and look at us through that covering, but he became man as he partook of flesh and blood, and that body was his body, a real part of his being, so much so that he will never again be separated from that body. All this brings us to the matter of his death, his real human death, and his resurrection. He came to die, a sacrificial death to show God's sincere grace to all men, a substitutionary death as a substitute for all whom God foreknew would repent and trust him as their Lord and Savior. His work of atonement for sin in those 3 hours of 3 hours culminated in his actual death for he himself, that is, his spirit and soul, left his body. On that cross hung a lifeless body. It was actual death. With the deepest reverence for every part of that man, Jesus Christ our Lord, we begin our investigation. Was he really dead? Pilate marveled at it, but the soldiers at the cross saw the evidence of it to be so clear, they break not his legs. He died as no one ever did or could. In full consciousness, with all his mental faculties in clear action, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he thrust his own spirit and soul from his body. He died by his own act. Two respected leaders of his day, being his disciples, buried his body in a rock tomb. But where was he? That is, his soul and spirit. To the repentant thief on the cross he said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Thou be with me. That is, I will be there first, and I will receive you to paradise. David had prophesied that our Lord's soul was not left in hell. That is, Sheol in Hebrew and Hades in Greek. In our Lord's ministry, he revealed that hell, then existent, had two separate parts, one of the wicked in fire and torment, and the other of the saints in comfort and paradise. It was in that paradise part our Lord was for 3 days with Abraham, David, Daniel, and Moses, and the Old Testament saints. Soon after he arrived, he welcomed the soul of the repentant thief into that paradise, as he had promised him. His soul and spirit being in paradise, two who loved him took down from the cross his lifeless body and buried it. But not all of his body was buried. Where was his blood? It was shed in sacrifice at Calvary. And they plucked the hairs from his face, and they fell on the ground. No bone was broken, and no flesh was torn off. And the lash tore his back. The nails his hands and feet, the thorns his brow, and the spear his side. But, as then so now, who cared about his blood? Man did not, but God did. Was it not the precious blood of Jesus Christ his Son? By day and by night that atoning blood was guarded by God. No dog licked it up as they did the blood of wicked Jezebel. No flies clustered on it, and no foot of man trampled it. Held in the pores of earth, watched by God, it remained for 3 days. Then the resurrection day arrived, and Christ arose. In the excitement of that glorious day, we pause to consider what it all meant. His soul and spirit were in paradise, his blood in the pores of the earth, his hairs on the ground, and his body in that sealed tomb. What happened? His spirit ascended out of hell and again entered his body, and as he had been commanded by God, so he did. He took again his own blood, and in the veins of his real human body, it manifested again the life of that real man of flesh and blood. Moreover, not a hair was missing in his head. He arose, and he had lost nothing. He was the very same Jesus in that entire human body, his flesh, his bones, his blood, and his life. Some say that our Lord gave his blood but didn't take it again. But our Lord said of himself that he laid it down and he took it again. Whatever he laid down, that he took again. He also said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Whatever he was before his death, that he is now and will be forever. This is his own description of his resurrection, and I believe it and declare to the world around. Amen. In our Lord's ministry, he called Lazarus out of death. As he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Where was Lazarus? His body, in part, was in the coffin. A part of it had already disintegrated. His sister said, "He stinketh." And Lazarus' soul was in paradise beneath. Yet at Jesus' word, Lazarus' soul ascended out of paradise. His body came from the tomb, and the very atmosphere yielded up the rest of his body. But with Jesus it was different, for his body saw no corruption. Even though crucifixion left his body so torn, this would normally have caused corruption to have set in at once. Yet not one cell corrupted, and the atmosphere claimed none of his body. Coming forth in the triumph of his resurrection, he remained here on earth for 40 days, visiting his dear saints, sometimes meeting them alone, or by 2, or 7, or 10, or 12, and even meeting 500 brethren at once. To all he proved that it was he himself and his own real and living body. He asked them to handle him, even to put their fingers into the nail prints in his hands. And to prove that his bloodstream was in normal function, he called for food and ate it before them. They were most skeptical, refusing to believe. But when they saw such evidences, they went forth at the peril of their lives and preached everywhere that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was risen from the dead. And they started right where he had died. After 40 days of such bodily proof of his resurrection ended, this same Jesus gathered his disciples together, and he ascended into heaven while they watched as a cloud received him out of their sight. And two heavenly messengers stood by them and assured them that this same Jesus would so return one day. The Bible record is flawless. It is divine. The most skeptical must respect it. Never have records so agreed in their testimony of any past event. But what about the workable nature of it? Our souls are thrilled to read about Jesus appearing to Mary, to Peter, to James, to Stephen, and to Paul. But are we left out in the cold only to wish we lived back in that first century? No. If Jesus lives, can I hear him speak to me? Yes. Can I see him now? Yes. Can I know his presence and his love? Yes, is my positive answer. Thus you and I can even today know that Christ arose, that Jesus lives. But did he not arise in his body, and is he not in that body now, and never to be revealed apart from it? True, very true. He is not a spirit to visit earth to speak to you and to be everywhere, but is a real man, and on that throne he will remain until the hour for his coming again. How then can I know him today? To Stephen, as he was stoned for Christ, God rolled away the heavens, and Stephen saw a man on the throne, Jesus, and he spoke to him. How? By natural vision? No. Paul saw him both when he was in the temple and on that Damascus road, and they spoke one to another. This was not natural vision. John on Patmos saw him and heard his voice and felt his right hand. Now remember that during the 40 days, they all saw Jesus with their natural eyes. They felt him with their natural hands, but now he is in heaven. How can I contact Jesus today? There is a person and only one, a divine person, who is his substitute here on earth, God the Holy Spirit. And he alone can, through my spirit, make the very presence of Jesus, the living man in heaven, just as real to me as if I saw him with my natural eyes or touched him with my hands. No human analysis can be made for this. It is a divine miracle, so personally experienced by us humans, it becomes a reality. The Holy Spirit so enabled Stephen, Paul, and John to see the Lord Jesus. One night I was converted. That night I saw the Lord. He was so real to me, and I received him as he received me, as personal experience as was Saul's on that Damascus road. This is real conversion. Don't settle for less. After that, as was true of Paul, I have on countless occasions so communed with my living Lord Jesus, the man in the glory. He was at by my side speaking to me, his servant, and I spoke to him, my Lord, as the Holy Spirit made the contact. This is not fantastic, it is real. Did not our Lord himself describe true conversion in these words? The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. On that Damascus road, the others heard a human sound, but they heard not the voice that spake to me. Only Paul had that personal experience with the Lord, seeing him and hearing his voice calling him by name. Today, people are taught to profess salvation as they read a Bible verse and accept certain teachings, but they never heard the voice of the living Lord Jesus calling them, and they are deceived. Surely some of you at this point will turn from your deception and cry from your hearts, Lord Jesus, I want to know thee, the living one, as my own Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, speak to me. Call me by name. Let me see thee and have that personal experience with thee, Lord Jesus. Then you will be another witness to his resurrection, like Paul and John, because of what you saw and heard, not a doctrine accepted, but a reality experience. John on Patmos Isle was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Holy Spirit made the contact. So John saw the Lord Jesus and heard his voice speaking to him. This experience only the Holy Spirit can make possible to us. The Court of Appeals may suspend its verdict, but you and I leave that courtroom amazed at the documentary testimony of the resurrection of the man Jesus of Nazareth. The workability of all this remains. You must prove it for yourself as I have for myself. You must have that heart-to-heart, face-to-face experience with a living Lord Jesus Christ. If you now, in real repentance, would seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit is ready to make the contact as He reveals to you Jesus, your Lord and Savior. As He stands before you, will you, like John, cast yourself at His feet and with your mouth confess Him, Lord Jesus, I know Thou art alive and Thou hast revealed Thyself to me. I now yield myself to Thee, my Lord and my Savior. Then on earth there will be one more witness of His resurrection, one who has seen and heard the living Christ. May you be that one. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through its bondservant, David Brinkman.